into the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. This will be my final appearance on WWGH for now. I may be back in the future. We don't know. But my final guest here are Emily Olorvitas from the Eco Center and Tyler Butler from Terradyce.
Yeah.
And there's a big event coming up. April is traditionally kind of a focus on Earth things, and there's an Earth Day. And you have an event coming up this coming Saturday.
We do, yep.
And that's what we're going to start talking about today.
Perfect. So Earth Day always falls on April 22nd. That's the official Earth Day, which historically kind of turned into Earth Week, historically turned into kind of Earth Month, and that's the way we handle it right now. But our annual Community Earth Day is on Saturday, April 24th from 12 to 4 p.m., and that's out at the Eco Center in Caledonia. And thanks to all the sponsors, such as Matthews Auto Group and Whirlpool, there is no admission cost for anybody that comes. So a lot of support from sponsors, yep.
That is wonderful.
Yes. And it's just a day outside. We have a lot of educational groups that come in. Headwaters from Mount Gilead. Mm-hmm. We've got Soil and Water Conservation District, Marion and Morrow Recycling and Litter Prevention, Terradyce Nature Center. Eco's going to be out there with the theme is small change, big impact. Mm-hmm. And so each group has kind of been asked to demonstrate a small change that you can make either socially or professionally or environmentally that can have a big impact. And so Eco Center is going to be showing, we're going to have some products for sale that show typical items that are maybe disposable, like a water bottle, mm-hmm. and switching to a metal canteen or a glass water bottle, what the impact is there, what difference you're making for
which
the environment.
Which are reusable.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Bamboo toothbrushes versus plastic, dryer balls versus, we have wool dryer balls, which mm-hmm. reduce the dryer time by about 20%, plastic-free.
Oh, wow.
And chemical-free. So
bamboo toothbrushes, would you like to... I've never heard such a
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's the handle. Instead of being a composite plastic that is not recyclable, it has a bamboo handle that takes 6 to 8 months in a compost setting to disintegrate or to compost versus hundreds of years. I mean, plastic, we don't even know how long it's going to be here. So
right, exactly.
Yep.
So, yes, our landfills are filling up with those things very quickly. What other services do you have going for the public that day?
Sure. So, Eco Center, we operate on 10 acres, and we do our field trips and our summer camps, and we have all of our activities are going to be open that day, which includes our zip line, our barrel train ride, our Ninja Warrior course. We have a native prairie with bird blind out there. We have a 3-acre woods where they can do a scavenger hunt that they get at the front gate. It's a laminated scavenger hunt they can do with their family back in the woods. And then the vendors are there. We have a local food truck coming from Mount Vernon. It's mm-hmm. called Green Vibes. Mm-hmm. And they put out some killer vegetable soup and avocado toast and smoothies. And then we have our earth-friendly vendors. Like I said, a lot of colleagues and organizers and earth-friendly groups, educators, are going to be coming out. And so the idea is that the public just comes, and it's 4 hours of outdoor fun that's educational, which is really what Eco is here for.
Okay. And that starts at noon.
Starts at noon, yep.
That's 24th.
The 24th, this coming Saturday. Rain or shine, there looks like there is about 40% chance of rain during the day, so we're hoping that kind of dissipates and we'll have a beautiful April day. But it's from 12 to 4 at Eco Center. And Eco Center is right off of 309 outside of Caledonia. So if you turn right at the Caledonia Cemetery or left if you're coming from Galleon, mm-hmm. It wraps around the cemetery and that becomes County Road 59.
Okay.
Yep.
And it kind of borders on Morrow and Marion County, I believe.
We are. We're in Morrow. I always say that I'm a hybrid kid. I grew up in the same situation. Grew up in Morrow County, went to River Valley Marion County School, even though we were in Morrow. So my business is no different. It's a Morrow County business in a Marion County School District.
Okay.
Yep.
What other kind of events do you have on an ongoing basis, or just special events? What goes on there?
Sure. Earth Day is really one of our biggest community events that we have, especially with there being no admission cost. But we do special events, whether it's a family booking for a birthday party or for a family reunion, for a graduation party. We host a haunted trail in October.
That was really big this past
year. It was. It was a wonderful turnout, and I can't say enough about that. It was a really great experience. Summer camp is our main focus, and field trips, which are still kind of, we do have a few booked for the spring. And if you're interested in booking a field trip, feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you more about how we are COVID safe. With separation and masks and so forth. So we do have a few schools that are booked for field trips this spring. And then summer camp, which Tyler at Terradyce Nature Center, we team up with Terradyce on a lot of different events, including Earth Day. And he helps with programming and is one of our main educators at summer camp.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. A lot of fun. I love summer camp.
I'm sure you do. Okay, a lot going on at the Eco Center. Again, that's on, what's that, County Road 59,
yep.
When you get into Morrow County, actually.
Yes, yep. Right by the Caledonia Cemetery. I mean, really, I think it's about 2 miles from the Caledonia Cemetery,
right.
But it's on the same road as the Caledonia Cemetery.
I used to come that way to go to work quite often, so I know exactly where you are myself. The Eco Center, Earth Day celebration, April 24th, starting at noon.
Yep.
And till 4, I believe?
Till
noon
4.
To 4. Okay.
Noon to 4. And we are going to have, I can't believe I forgot to mention this, our rain barrel raffle. That's an annual tradition.
Friends of mine have painted some.
Yeah, Ben Kern.
Will Obenauer.
Will Obenauer did one this year. Emily Hooper, Katie McCurry, and Annette Temple Montes did... Dead rain barrels this year, and they're stunning. They're beautiful. You don't have to be there to participate. I actually have it set up on my online where you can buy raffle tickets in advance. I fill them out for you. I handwrite them and send a picture saying, here's your tickets. Mm-hmm. But they're stunning. They're talented. Those artists are incredibly generous, and they love to lend a hand, and it's for a good cause. We started a program this year called Send a Kid to Camp. And so proceeds typically from the raffle barrel, the rain barrel raffle, go towards field trip sponsorships.
Oh, good.
Where a school may not be able to pay for their busing out to a field trip, or they might not be able to match the admission fee for each child for a field trip. And the rain barrel raffle helps subsidize those schools who might not have the same funding as other districts. Because field trips aren't really happening right now, we are taking the proceeds and we're putting them towards the Send a Kid to Camp program, which is going to go towards sponsoring children in full to participate in summer camp who meet one or more of the three criteria, which is no outdoor mentor, financial limitations, or limited access to outdoors.
Okay.
So... there's no major screening process. It's kind of on a first-come, first-served basis. So if you have a child that would be interested in Eco Camp, we do have some sponsorships already secured. And you can find that nomination form on my website, which is ecocenterohio.com. Mm-hmm. And...
It's okay. It's live radio. These things happen.
Yeah, that's my phone ringing.
Yeah, and we're not going to be sticklers on the scholarship either. I mean, obviously, there are those three criteria. But if you know a kid that needs to get outside or a kid that wants to get outside this summer and they don't have the resources to do so, then please, please, please get a hold of us over at the Eco Center or even over at Terradyce. We're going to manage part of that scholarship opportunity as well. So absolutely... reach out to us. We will match your camper with a scholarship if there's one available. And there are currently scholarships available. There are scholarships open for campers to come to camp this summer.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to back up and talk about, we'll talk more about summer camp in just a little bit.
Absolutely.
And rain barrels. Mm-hmm. I kind of know what they're used for and the purpose, but tell us about the rain barrels.
Okay. So we use food grade barrels, whether you get a rain barrel from our Earth Day event or you're looking to do a do-it-yourself rain barrel, tip is always use food grade barrels. If you're not purchasing new from like a big box store or Amazon or whatever. Mm-hmm. So basically what you're doing is you're harvesting rainwater from the surface of your roof, whether that's a pole barn or a shed or a chicken coop, whatever it would be, you're harvesting that rainwater. Mm-hmm. It's coming down in, which can be used for washing off your car, muddy hands, muddy shoes, watering your garden, watering your flowers. Mm-hmm. And it's really the best water source for plants. A lot of well water has minerals that can be harmful and not desirable to plants. And our municipal water, like Delco or Aqua, is also chlorinated and has a lot of additives to it. And so mm-hmm. plants prefer rainwater. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a way to collect that when it's in abundance and have access to it. So our pole barn is pretty big, and we have, let's see, four rain barrels hooked up at Eco Center. So two at our bathrooms, one in our prairie. We use those for hand washing stations for all of our events. Mm-hmm. And then on the personal side of the barn, we have one that I use for my garden and for my flowers on my front porch. And they're just really great. I mean, I can't say enough about them. People who have come to our workshop, which I have in May. Mm-hmm. We have 20 spots available for that if you want to put together a rain barrel. We have a workshop, and I teach you how to hook them up, how to maintain them, what they're good for, the do's and don'ts of harvesting water and having a rain barrel. And a lot of people just really love them.
Okay.
Yep.
And you have a chance to win some very, very beautiful decorative rain barrels.
Many hours went into those rain barrels. Yeah. A lot of love and talent went into those rain barrels. And you can see them on my Facebook page, Eco Center Facebook page. I've got them posted there, and they're also up on the website if you want to take a look before coming to the event.
Oh, yeah. I got a sneak peek on Saturday. I saw the barrels in person, and they are beautiful. Absolutely stunning.
And the price of the raffle tickets?
They're $1 a piece.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
What a bargain.
Yep.
What a bargain. And even if you don't win, you're helping to send some kids to camp.
Exactly.
I mean, that's very much worth the $2, $3, $5, whatever you give towards that.
And every ticket has a chance.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you have more programs? You have the rain barrel coming up. You have the camp coming up. Any other programs that are scheduled for
At this point, it's just the rain barrel workshop is May 23rd. It's a Sunday. Summer camp, I can give the dates there. We have three sessions available for 6 to 11-year-olds. So we have 6 to 8-year-olds is one group, and 6 to 8 and 9 to 11. Those are going to be June 14th through the 18th, July 12th through the 16th, and the 19th through the 23rd of July as well. And we're super excited this year. We're adding one for 12 to 14-year-olds. That's going to be the first week of August.
Okay.
And so that's going to be more citizen science related, really critical thinking, getting the kids assigned to a project that they're interested in with the environment or science.
Yep. And amateur data collection mm-hmm. and doing wildlife surveys and all kinds of cool stuff out there.
Okay. And you say all this cool stuff. What kind of cool stuff are they going to be doing out there?
Sure. Well, it depends on which camp you come to.
Okay.
Like we said, they're structured a little bit differently. So if you're coming to one of our tadpole polywog camps, which would be kids 5 to 11, we're going to be doing a lot of conservation environmental science activities there, as well as taking a look at sustainability and what that might mean, right, for the kids going back home. Mm-hmm. But some of the popular programs we do, of course, we play the habitat game. That's a pretty fun one. The kids love that. It's a good introduction to the week. We'll be singing camp songs. We'll be having lots of snacks. That's always pretty popular. And then we'll take them out into the woods, or we'll take them into the prairie, right? Or we'll take them to the chicken coop, right, to get experience with with some of those farm chores.
That's kind of a foul experience, isn't it?
Some of them certainly think
so. Catch off guard.
But it is just all around a very well-rounded summer camp experience, and the kids get to do really a lot of educational programming. They get to have a lot of fun, and it's an awesome opportunity. You know, it's been a weird year for kids, especially. You know, they have no control, no power over what's going on. They're just kind of going with the flow, and so I've got to give, you know, the kids credit for that. They've certainly done that. And so, you know, it's just a nice treat for kids to meet other kids, be with other kids, interact with other kids, play some games, learn some stuff.
And the friendships that have formed, I would say this is the fourth year that we've offered summer camp. We've been open for 6 years. And we have campers that have come every year. And so they look forward to meeting their friends from other school districts, you know, up. And I have parents reach out to me in January and say, we're planning our family vacation, and, you know, this camper is wanting to know when camp is because they're not allowing us to book our family vacation. So if you know, like, let us know so that we can plan around that. That's so wonderful. as an educator, that's such a good and empowering feeling to know that, you know, our campers and our visitors are really loving what we have to offer, and it keeps us going in hard times.
Yep. And on any given week, you can find a camp available. So it's Monday through Friday, 9 to 4. So it's a day camp, so kids get dropped off at 9, picked up at 4. But right when they get there, we're doing flagpole. We're making announcements. We're doing camp songs. We're doing stretches to just wake them up in the morning.
So cool. Yeah.
They do chores. They do. We have goats and chickens. Cats, we do invasive plant pulling out. So in the morning they get right into their chore groups. They harvest the garden that we have there. We talk about edibles and growing your own food and so forth. And so each day, even though it's themed around a different topic, whether it's water or habitats or species biodiversity, each day follows the same schedule. You know, so they know what to expect, and there's some cadence there with the activities.
And we always try and throw craft in there somewhere. So, you know, we they're my favorite.
I think that was sarcasm.
Crafts can be fun. I'm a big fan of the education side of things, though. So talking watersheds or talking macroinvertebrates or going out and identifying different wildflowers or trees or even, you know, insects is a big fun one for me, is to take them through the woods and lift up a log and just ask them what they see and point out things and identify those things and ask them what's happening in the forest, right, with the log that's on the ground that's being, you know, going through decomposition, you
processes.
Know, and just talking them through those processes. That's one of my all-time favorite things. One of my favorite crafts, though, we did last year for camp, and that was pulling the Queen Anne's lace and using, which is an invasive species, and then using that as paintbrushes to paint some.
Now, when I was growing up, we called that wild carrot. I believe it's the same thing.
So they look really similar.
They're not the same?
There's another plant that looks a lot like Queen Anne's lace.
Okay.
But is not. And I've heard that called wild carrot as well. And that is native. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to have friends that were florists, and they had Queen Anne's lace. And I said, oh, that's just wild carrots. I'm going to get you some of those.
I used to spray paint them all the time with my great-grandmother. We'd go out and harvest them, and then we would spray paint them and make bouquets just as like a fun, fun thing to do. But, yeah, it's and we have oldies. We call them oldies but goodies, because our return campers, you know, on Monday, inevitably they're going to be like, when are we going to play Alan Mouse game? Predator and Prey. And we have this 3-acre woods, and there's trails. And one thing that I love as somebody who grew up in the country, walking in the creek, you know, kind of having my freedom back in the woods and so forth, is providing that space for our campers. So they're not moving in a rigid schedule where they don't have the autonomy to explore and be in their own space. And
that's great.
You know, it's during playtime, they have that that 10 acres to, you know, in a supervised fashion to kind of go and do the zip line if they want, or mm-hmm. organize a game of capture the flag. And mm-hmm. and so it's really nice to see them kind of come up with what they enjoy doing and deciding in a democratic way of, you know, what the group is going to do. And very, very nice.
Yeah, I grew up in the woods, and well, we had a house too, but I spent a lot of time in the woods and in the, I say crick, but
right.
whatever, in the
also,
water,
yeah.
catching crawdads uh-huh. and catching tadpoles and
yep.
so on. And, you know, there's a lot of kids that don't get to experience that today.
Right, and as a child, I didn't realize that other children weren't, you know, but... As I started to have friends over and we would do that on the weekends or whatever, I'm like, hey, let's go play in the creek. Like, you know, and yeah. it would eat our jellies and we would, you know, and they're like, this is so fun. And I've got, oh my gosh, what's that? It's a leech, you know, and I
yeah.
burn
yeah.
it off.
Yeah.
And it is. It's something that culturally, when you have it, you kind of take it for granted. And
oh, yeah.
That was a huge inspiration to me looking back and reflecting on my childhood of wanting to provide a space for children to have that if they didn't have it in their own backyards.
That yeah, just so awesome. Just giving them the access. And you never know what's going to happen with you know, there may be a child out there that's never, you know, identified a wildflower. Mm-hmm. And then they come to camp, and for that week, they're exposed to all of these new experiences, and they're doing new things, and they find out that they have a passion for identifying wildflowers, and they carry that through school and mm-hmm. Into a career, which you know, to me is very exciting.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it is. It's probably how you started, Tyler, knowing
something
know
very similar.
You.
Yeah. Looking for salamanders behind my house as a kid, and that's where I got started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen any salamanders this year?
Marion is just not a great county for okay. salamanders.
They're around here.
They're around here. You can find some, yeah. If you want to find some good salamanders, I'd recommend. I found them in Morrow County. That's where I grew up. Knox County is also a great place for salamanders. The way the water sits in Marion is just too much for salamanders to make it very far here in the county. And just the way our forests are formed, there's not enough litter on the ground, basically,
okay.
for salamanders
yeah.
to find refuge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not a lot of salamanders in Marion County, which is unfortunate, but if you go to some of the surrounding counties, there's great habitat for salamanders.
Okay. We've talked quite a bit about the Eco Center.
Sure.
Why don't we talk a little bit about what's going on over at Terradyce? I understand you've been putting in a lot of hours of work with volunteers, getting
sure.
some stuff done over there.
Yeah, yeah, we're doing quite a few things over there, trying to stay busy. So one thing I guess I should mention is that the day after Earth Day with Eco Center, on the 25th of April, we're doing a Caledonia roadside cleanup in partnership with Eco Center, of course, and Marion County Litter Prevention and Recycling, and then also Rob's Hauling. They're providing a dumpster. And basically, it's going to be an activity that's very similar to like a 4-H trash bash.
Okay.
So we will be positioned at Anselmint Park, Anselmint Memorial Park in Caledonia. We will be there from 1 to 3 that Sunday, this Sunday coming up. And we will be handing out and providing things like visibility vests and litter pickers and bags for you to come in, take, and then go to a roadside. We could recommend one to you. You could clean up in front of your own house if you're in the Caledonia area.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be tracking the mileage that people are cleaning. And like I said, also kind of directing people into areas of interest that we may say, this stretch of road that's, you know, pretty safe could use some litter pickup.
Right.
And then we will be gone at 4, so you can pick up all of your supplies from 1 to 4, that 3-hour period, that's when we'll be there. But you don't have to go pick up really quickly and then bring all the stuff back and all the bags back immediately. The dumpster will still be there into the evening at least. And so you can come back with your bags once they're full, throw them into the dumpster, and then we'll also have a barrel there with all of the, or for all of your supplies too, your litter pickers
okay,
and your
cool.
visibility vests and things like that. So that is happening this Sunday, which is pretty exciting. Some other things we've got going on, with Headwaters Outdoor Education Center over in Mount Gilead. In May, we're putting on a bird-a-thon
So Birdathon is basically 24 hours bird species survey. So we're trying to put together teams, birding teams, teams of 2 to 6. We're requiring at least 2 people. Because at least 2 people have to make an ID on a bird before it counts.
Okay.
So, but basically what that looks like is it'll start on May 14th at 5 p.m. You can go anywhere, Marion, Morrow County, as long as it's a public area anybody could access. And you will start to bird, and you'll just identify bird species. You don't have to count the number of individuals. Just count species that you are seeing and that you're recognizing. And then we've got a form on our website that once you leave that park or once you leave that preserve, just go onto our website, list out the birds that you log in as your team, list out the birds that you've seen, throw it in. We'll keep track of that for you and then move on to the next place. The really cool thing is we are working with Morrow County Parks District and Marion County Park District, and they are allowing us and the birding teams for that 24-hour period access to their parks at night after dark, which is pretty exciting. So normally you can't access places like Gleason or Tallgrass, right, after dark once the sun sets. But these parks, with permission, are letting us use those because a lot of the really cool birds, they come out at night. So you can do some owl prowls and things like that, walk around, use your hoot flute, whatever you've got, right? And maybe not everybody has a hoot flute.
I'm going to go out and buy one once I know what it is.
It is it's a plastic flute that imitates owl calls.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty fun. But, yeah, so you list birds, and then at the end of it, it ends the next Saturday at 5 p.m., so it's 24 hours. And then we're going to meet at Eco Center at 7 p.m. that night. We're going to hand out some awards. We're going to distribute some T-shirts. It's $5 cost entry for every participant. So if you have, 4 people on your team, it's $20, and that just helps us pay for the shirts. Okay. So that's going to be pretty exciting. We are placing the bird count right in the middle of the neotropical warbler migration. So all the birds that are coming up from Central South America, little teeny, teeny, tiny songbirds will be coming up. And that is going to be great because I miss them.
Okay. That would include hummingbirds, I presume.
Hummingbirds will be here probably later this month if you haven't seen them already.
Okay. Okay.
But you can still count hummingbirds. If you go out there and you see a robin, you can count the robin as a species. If you see a turkey vulture, count the turkey vulture. If you see the black-headed vultures, which unfortunately I have seen a few here in the county, you can count the black-headed vultures. Yep, any bird you see, you can count that as a species. Absolutely 100%.
The bald eagle flew right over me today out in Morrow County.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
That was
yeah.
pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that is. And you know why hummingbirds hum, right?
You're going to tell me.
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
Because they don't know the words. See, folks, you get all kinds of entertainment here. You're going to miss me. Okay, Eco Center. Now, do your properties join? They're kind of... No, we're
several miles away from each other. Not too far.
Yeah.
But I happen to be over in Marion County.
Right.
And of course, Eco Center is over in Morrow County. So we kind of straddle that county line.
It's about 3 miles probably driving.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Terradyce is connected to the Terradyce Nature Preserve.
Yes.
So there's the Nature Center, and then the Olentangy, and then.
Yeah, so when Trella purchased that property in 52, Trella and Ray, Romine, when they purchased that property in 52, they bought originally, I think it was 18, 20 acres over there with the Olentangy basically splitting it, and they built a house on one side, and they left the other side just to kind of do as it would do.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually Trella, I think it was the 80s, she gifted the Terradyce Nature Preserve. So everything south of the river at that point, the way the river is positioned, everything south of it as it passes through Terradyce. So everything south of the river is Terradyce Nature Preserve, which is part of the Marion Parks District. And then everything north of the river where the house is at, that's Terradyce Nature Center, which is our separate nonprofit, though we work together on several projects as well. So
there's a lot of collaboration, I think, with like-minded people within the two counties, which is so nice for all of us.
Yeah, yeah. I think most recently the biggest thing that has gone on is through MEEK, which had been Morrow County Outdoor Morrow County Environmental Education Committee, which Emily and I are both a part of. But they had recently opened up and said, well, why is it just Morrow County? Mm-hmm. You know, why can't we add Marion County as well? There's lots of green talk and outdoor education and conservation education, sustainability, right, going on in Marion County. Let's, you know, collaborate a little bit. And we did. And we're having big talks through through that committee.
Morel mushrooms, are there a lot of them on either property?
I wish. I've never found one at Eco Center. We do get angel wings, and I'll never tell. Mushrooms never tell. I will tell you that there are none at Eco Center. unless my neighbor gets to them first, Bob, if you're listening. I suspect you're taking my morels.
I asked the wrong question, because that's usually a pretty secretive thing for...
Make sure if you are out picking morels, you have permission to be on that property and taking mushrooms from that property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get hen of the woods, chicken of the woods, angel wings.
Yep, lion's mane.
What was the one that looked like coral?
Yeah, lion's mane. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was really, that one was really good, right?
Yeah, that was really good.
Oh, they're all edible?
Not all. All the ones you mentioned.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, all the ones I mentioned. I'm like, I thought they were. I've been eating them.
I thought your face got kind of funny, too.
Puffballs.
Oh, puffball.
Oh,
yeah,
I love puffball.
Yep.
My mom would skin them. There's a skin on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she would fix it in flour and egg, I think, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then fry them.
So good.
I miss that.
It's like a steak.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yo,
okay,
yeah,
I'm going to save you one this year because Eco Center produces some pretty big...
Impressive.
Puff balls, yeah.
Impressively sized.
And it's
puff
like
balls.
It's like time clock too. Like, okay, they should be coming up.
Right. Well, you don't want to wait too late because then they are
right.
Dust.
They go bad. Yeah.
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 It doesn't take long on that.
And I'll give you permission to step on them when they're dust. Get those spores
That's
out there.
Fun.
Oh yeah. Stomp on them. Yep.
Yeah.
Make sure they're ready though.
I'll take my Benadryl right away too. But yeah. Okay. Wildflowers, this is a good time of year for, I know this week, from what I've heard, we're going to have snow, but what kind of wildflowers are out there right now?
Sure, you're going to see things like periwinkle are coming up, a lot of phlox coming up right now.
Trout lily.
Trout lily, oh yeah, a bunch of trout lilies. Eco Center is full of them right now. Yellow trout lilies.
Okay, yeah.
Let's see, toad shade is up. There's a bunch of toad shade out there right now. Let's see.
Spring
beauties.
Spring beauties.
Mm-hmm. Spring beauties are certainly out and about. I'm seeing a lot of bloodroot. Certainly seeing a lot of trillium. A lot of trillium around.
I believe trillium is our state flower, too.
The white trillium.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's all the flowers I can think of right now. But
now, are daffodils native to our area? I know there are daffodils, but they're usually around where a house once sat or something.
Yeah, daffodils were imported at one time. So they are not native to Ohio,
okay.
The wild daffodils that you are seeing pop up everywhere. But they've established themselves very well.
Yes, they have. And they're very nice. And tulips aren't native to our area, I'm sure. But,
right.
But tulips are coming out right now, and they only last a short time.
Yeah.
They don't last very long.
Even shorter if you have free-range chickens.
Okay.
Note to self.
So the chickens like the tulips, huh?
Nope.
That's funny. What kind of wildlife are we seeing out and about right now that's coming out of hibernation and so on?
Yeah, everything should be well out of hibernation. So your groundhogs are out. They've been out for about... maybe a little over a month now. You'll see a lot of tiny little squirrels running around. They're trying to find their own territories, which is pretty nice. They'll establish a midden pile at some point and claim a tree and kind mm-hmm. of a circumference of area to themselves, which is interesting. The other things going on about, you're going to see a lot of insects start to be more active.
Well, that one bugs me.
I don't even know how to react.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. What are they going to do? Fire me? I don't know.
A lot of insect activity going on right now. Of course, you're going to get the insects happen to come out when it's almost like it's timed when a lot of our insect-eating migratory birds, things like your orioles, which will come up for fruit but are also looking for insects to carry on their migration, a lot of these high-energy sources of food. And then you have things like your red-breasted grosbeak, which are going to be around soon. And they're going to be looking for insects as well. All of those warblers, there's about 30 species of warbler that's going to be moving north here in about the next month. They're all looking for insects. Flycatchers are out and about right now. So
swallows,
purple martins. Definitely, if you've got a colony set up, you're probably seeing a lot of the what's called scouts. If you're not seeing most of the colony at this point, so.
Now, are orioles, are they the ones that make the nest that's kind of a like a bag, or is that?
Yeah.
I was thinking they did.
Yeah. So that hanging nest there. There are a lot of interesting nests around. A lot of the birds that we have here in Ohio, or at least a lot of the perching birds we have here in Ohio, they are cavity nesters. So they're going to be looking for crevices in trees or old woodpecker holes or holes in your siding, the mm-hmm. siding of your house, old, you know, lamp posts, things like that. They're going to be building nests everywhere. It's a big brooding season right now. So not only are the adults hungry, but we're going to have some hungry chicks very soon as well.
Now, you were mentioning the insects, cicadas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hear that we're going to have a slew of them this year. It's the 17th year or whatever.
Yep. So that's going to be exciting. It's always exciting when the cicadas come to visit. Of course, they've been here the whole time, right? They've just been underground. But yeah, they're going to emerge this year, and it's going to be a pretty fun couple months of just hearing them scream from the trees. But I always try and enjoy it. They're a great teaching tool. They can't bite. They can't hurt you. So, you know, especially at places like summer camp or at school, when they're flying around, right, kind of swarming a little bit, if you catch one, you can just show the kids, talk about insects, talk about body parts, talk about functions, and then just hand it right to them. And it's not going to bite them, not going to hurt them. And they will stand there, and you can watch that child make a connection with an insect.
Right.
Something that will last forever, and then they'll be all of a sudden less afraid of insects.
100%. Right? And even spatial fear is a big thing. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon to have a city school come on a field trip and a child doesn't want to go into the woods because they feel like there's lions and tigers and bears inside and not safe. Yeah, oh my. and so that experiential learning of counting butterflies, identifying them, you know, seeing the bees and the butterflies up close and identifying them and connecting with them,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you can see, even with our invasive species, we pull garlic muster in the woods. That's one of the things that we do is eradicate invasive plants in the Eco Center woods with our campers.
Mm-hmm.
And year after year, they'll say, okay, when are we going to pull that garlic mustard? Because it's a competition and they know how to identify it now, you know, so in their own backyards or on their grandparents' property or at a park, just that that knowledge and that experiential learning of being able to identify something that is a non-native, that is an invasive, it's a life lesson.
And there's a lot of study that's gone on in the past 40 years or so about environmental education and what it means and what's most effective. And for decades and decades and decades, you know, we've been expecting kids to just pick up on what we're lecturing. You know,
right.
Sit them in a classroom and say, hey, the earth's important and we should take care of it and pick up litter. And this is what an insect is. And, you know, here's how you classify a mammal or, you know, and it's come to the forefront in the last couple of years that it's the experience of being out in nature and the access to making changes like picking up litter that really, really push behavioral changes and attitude changes towards local green space in the environment. So it's getting kids outside and getting them active in the outdoors that's really making the change. It's not the lecturing. The lecturing certainly helps, right? The information helps, but it's getting kids participating in these outdoor activities.
Yeah, the hands-on.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
I'm that way. I have to. You can sit here and explain something to me, but until I go out and actually experience and do it, it doesn't take a place in my mind, I guess, is a way of putting it.
Yeah, and you've got all kinds of kids that learn all sorts of ways, audio, visual. Mike, sounds like you're a kinetic learner, right? So it's...
I know all about kinetics, yes.
Yeah.
Here's something I thought of while we were talking. You were talking about insects a little bit ago. Is there a good natural mosquito repellent that you can use instead of buying off or something with DEET in it or whatever?
Essential oils are anything that's lemon balm based, like a citronella is lemon mm-hmm. balm based. So burning any of that, if you grow herbs in your gardens and you get into lavender, eucalyptus, citronella, they're deterrents. I use a lot of natural products and have some instructional recipes and so forth if you wanted to try some of that. Nothing is as good as DEET that I have found, but there are deterrents.
Yeah.
As much as I hate to say that out loud, you know, deter them, but if you're going deep into a woods on a camping trip, you know, I'd protect yourself with some.
Yeah, I would say the only other piece of advice I would put on top of that is stop them at the source.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to go into next.
Standing water.
Yeah.
Is what do we need to eliminate around our homes and our yards mm-hmm. to cut down on mosquitoes?
Or introduce, like, you know.
Right.
Right. So mosquitoes start life in the water as a midge. And they kind of float on the surface of the water. They can swim a little bit. They've kind of got squiggly little bodies. You know, introducing, and they need standing water. Moving water is not going to do it for them. You know, there are macroinvertebrates that love moving water. And in fact, a lot of macroinvertebrates love moving water because moving water means that there's oxygen being introduced to that water source. And a lot of the macroinvertebrates that we have need that high oxygen content to live a healthy life. Mosquitoes just aren't that way, and that's why they're so prolific, is because they don't have such a demanding body for their functions. And so they can live in standing water, in very, very shallow pools of standing water. So, yeah, dumping standing water when you find it. If you have a bird bath, right, just dumping it and refilling it pretty consistently will help out. If you have a trough or something like that for livestock, introducing some goldfish into that trough. Goldfish will do pretty well, and they will love
those
mosquitoes.
Don't those little crackers crumble in the water, though?
They disintegrate, yeah.
Okay. Oh, you mean the live goldfish.
The live goldfish. Okay, okay. The live goldfish.
We started doing that about 3 years ago at Eco. We put in about 5 goldfish a year, and they live to be released into the neighbor's pond into the fall. So it's been very effective.
Okay. I don't know why I had mosquitoes on my mind, but I thought you'd be
coming.
Too good
they
people
are,
to ask about that.
They are
They'll
coming.
Be here.
Is it true that smoke is a deterrent? I mean, if you have a campfire, you know.
Yeah, they don't want to fly through it.
Yeah. I've also heard that if you have, like on a porch, if you have a ceiling fan, mm-hmm. there's enough air circulating, they're so light that it repels them or pushes them away.
Yeah, I feel like I've met a few pretty determined mosquitoes in my life.
Yeah, I have to.
No ceiling fan was going to stop them.
So.
I think it's blood type related, too. Some people are just very prone. My daughter and my husband are very prone to mosquito bites.
Oh, they are?
They are. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I've heard it's something to research, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel that way with maybe ticks, too. Mm. Ticks seem to attach to the same person, you know, pretty consistently.
Give the possum plug while we're here. 2 more minutes?
Oh,
what
yeah.
We have.
Oh, yeah, about three minutes.
Yeah. About 3 minutes. Oh, yeah, love your possums. Keep them around. Possums are fantastic.
They're our friends.
They
don't carry rabies.
They do not. They do not. They do not carry rabies. They are North America's only marsupial, which means they have a pouch that they can carry around their little ones in. They are fantastic. I think they have, and this is a good thing. Don't take this as a bad thing. They have the strongest bite force of any mammal in North America, which is awesome. The most teeth in their mouth of any mammal in North America, which is super duper cool. But
they eat ticks.
They're just cool, and they eat ticks, and their bellies. Right, when they're walking around, they've got this coarse hair on them. Mm-hmm. And when they're walking around, their bellies drag along in the grass. And the ticks latch on to these possums. And then before the possum's going to bed early in the morning, it just gives itself a little grooming and eats all the ticks right off of it.
Oh, wow.
So lots and lots of ticks
and
every single summer.
40 to 50 a day, possibly? I've heard that.
It's 4,000 to 5,000 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4,000 to 5,000 ticks
per individual.
Mm-hmm. Per individual possum. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now there are other great animals too at eating ticks. Things like the turkey, wild turkey, are also, and their numbers are climbing as well. But definitely respect the possum. They've got a spot in the ecology here. Definitely. And they're kind
for
of
some
adorable.
Reason, some people have a fear of them. I don't know why.
They can be scary, especially if you kind of mutually scare each other. You walk around a corner, it's not expecting you, you're not expecting it, and it gives you a big hiss. But no, they would rather run away from you than come at you. And so I would just say, yep, respect the possum.
Well, we have a little bit less than 1 minute. Give the information once more on the Earth Day festivities.
Okay, Earth Day at Eco Center. Community Earth Day is this Saturday, April 24th from 12 to 4 p.m. No admission costs thanks to Matthews Auto Group, Whirlpool, Urban Gardens, Hessler's, Mid-Ohio Energy Cooperative, Delco, Dan Kelly Stump Grinding, Teradice, Ohio EPA, DKMM, Hessler's. So thank those local businesses. Come out and join us. Rain barrel raffles, zip lines, educational activities, nature scavenger hunts. What am I missing?
Yeah.
Food,
well,
fire pit.
It starts at noon.
Starts
noon
at noon, goes till 4. It's a great day outdoors.
Okay.
You're listening to WWTH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio.